Hi, Decoders. We're back with more Jedi tricks for traveling and with some more of my favorite stories and tricks. Let's do that.
Hi, I'm Kieran Trace. Welcome to Humans Decoded, a story of hobbits, fairies, elves, dwarfs, gnomes, and humans. If you get lost at any point, there is a deep dive on all the different avatars in episode one. It includes notes. Thank you for joining us in a fun little chat about the vast potential of our human makeup.
Hi, Leela. Hi, Cammy.
Hi.
Hi, gang.
You know, it's so fun to talk about this. You guys know I have Jedi tricks for all kinds of lifing. Because I love these little mind-bending practices to reinforce that time is a construct and our material life is an illusion. And so I love a little poke at that.
Yeah, and you know, just remembering the abundance of examples from last episode we all have of these Jedi tricks, it's feels like it's creating more abundance inside of me. So I'm down to pump that flow some more.
I have a truth statement that says, a concrete reminder that I do not, in fact, have to be concrete. And just to clarify for you decoders, a truth statement is when you pierce a belief that comes from fear or your pain body with what's actually true. And we write them down because you need reminders moment to moment, daily, sometimes hourly, especially when you've got a pain body that's very active and wants to convince you that you're a fraud, life is terrible, you're not safe, nobody loves you, etc. So we excavate for these truths that really, really resonate with your being, and then we hold on to them like Pokemon cards that you collect. And they're such an asset to have.
Okay, you guys ready? New Jedi trick. This is another one to play with when you're traveling. It's just a little add-on here. It's super fun. So we have this practice in embodiment class. And what happens, it's around week four, and you get invited to start to see how everything in material form is actually built out of this one connected field of energy that can, and we can see the light in there, and we can see in our awareness that field of connectivity. And it's really so beautiful, and it's a bit of an in-depth process. So what I'm going to do is give you guys a hack right now. Hopefully you're going to join us in class at some point. And of course, the new embodiment registration opens in January. So you know, because there's a class coming and we start that one at the end of January. So registration opens at the beginning. But for now, let's say the hack would be, we're in this travel environment that we've been talking about, and it's all very chaotic, and you've dissolved back into meditation. And maybe you're sitting, I don't know, on the side of the road at a little restaurant waiting for lunch, in, you know, at the gate waiting for your plane, in the traffic jam, or at the bank. I don't know. But you're sitting in this chaotic field full of all these other people, and they're not necessarily your people. And so mind naturally starts separating everybody and judging them, and you're in your own bubble like we do in public corridors. And again, I love that specific scene to practice this. It's such a perfect opportunity to drop in these particular practices. So you're sitting there, and what you do after you've leaned back into awareness, and that's in the first episode here, but with this trick, you notice what captivates you, like who captivates you. So it might be a child, it might be a person at the gate who works for the airlines, it might be that very interesting older gentleman, I don't know. But notice who's captivating you. And then you say, perfect. And you say it to yourself, you say it in your own head, you say it to the quiet field around you. And what happens, or what it means when you say perfect, is that they are perfect. And, you know, we're not always captivated by people who are beautiful or harmonious or who in our mind we compare ourselves to because they seem more perfect than you. And we get captivated by people who the mind also judges as like maybe horrible or awkward or even ugly. You know, quite often that can grab our attention. So this Jedi trick is so cool because you, when you're lean very back, dissolved into that quiet place, and then you say out loud to yourself, like, perfect, it starts to just kind of like, from awareness, all the parts of that person that are quite beautiful start to get highlighted a little bit. They get loud, they bounce out. And it's almost like awareness as a highlighter. And they just throw this highlight around these parts that are, well, beautiful. Maybe it's a kind interaction or a soft smile or like a lovely sweater. And it's not you in your mind trying to see the beauty or perfection in somebody. That's not it. That's not even going to work. Because that's not harnessing this field of silence. So you're not going to get that like spontaneous magic dust thrown over the person. So you can't hack it from your mind. You have to follow leaning back into awareness, from awareness, connecting into the field. And then this magical highlight starts to occur. And decoders, I know that some of you think, like, I always see people this way. Okay, spiritual identity, sure. You never judge. You never separate. You never isolate. Sure. And I know some of you guys might think that, well, awakening or meditation would naturally, organically make you feel this sort of soft equanimity and see everybody is beautiful and perfect. But no. Not in reality. It does not. Only a posturing spiritual identity holds this pose. And you know them. Decoders, we all know them. Those spiritual teachers who pose like it's just all peace 24/7 all the time. I call them the spiritual Barbies, spiritual Ken dolls. You know, the soft blinky eyes and those namaste hands. Always, always namaste. Blah, blah. So back to my hack. Back to the Jedi trick. To actually do this, you lean back into awareness. And awareness is in charge. But you whisper, perfect. And suddenly awareness magically illuminates features that were invisible to you, or what you saw of as, you saw it as like awkward. And then there's this sort of fairy dust that falls away that lens, and it falls away this lens of separation. And there's just this beauty of this person's being loud now. And what happens is a kind of like, I want to say, ripple in the pond. Like, quite quickly, everyone is so beautiful and so perfect. And that's not like life goes bulk template. You know, one is beautiful, all is beautiful. It's not like that. It's this still very, it's very individual. It's very captivating. It's just that the lens got dropped. Life sort of melted that lens you had that you didn't see was there. And then each time you go to look, or every time you're captivated, it's this like this beauty that gets seen. Hmm. And there's this, it's like there's this warm connected thread, like this ripple in the pond. And it's this really sweet practice where instead of standing in a security line feeling really impatient or pressurized or even a little unsafe, like separate from the guards or the people whose kid is slowing it all down, it flips it. And you end up feeling this beautiful like everyone's so beautiful. And then you start to see this like weave, this sort of little ripple out, this thread of connectivity. And it's like, oh, it's so intelligent. It's such an elegant weave. We're all one. This is, this moment is perfect. It's this horrible security lineup with the worst guard ever. But it's so, it's illuminated in this beautiful way. It's suddenly not random at all to you that all these people are in this lineup, including you. It's sort of like, oh, this is intentional. This is an intentional moment in creation. And this is like, I keep pointing out, like, it's a Jedi trick in the travel, because it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be very, very connected in your everyday practice. It's like these environments highlight practice, like they crystallize it for you in a way that the, you know, the yoga studio or the meditation hall doesn't actually. And again, there are many, many spiritual practices that would have your separate self trying to do this, but it doesn't, it's not it. It's not the magic. It's not the connected thread. It only works if awareness leans back. And then the present moment is really available and spacious and sort of organically flowing deeper into that quiet. And it's very open-handed. It's a very soft, who knows what's going to happen, just noticing what captivates you and whispering perfect. It's not, there's no precision to any of this. And the rest just sort of cascades on its own in this intricate and beautiful way.
As you're talking, Kieran, I'm remembering one of those moments that were exactly like that, where I was sat at a gate at the airport in Portland, and it was just a whole moment was this pure perfection, not because of anything. It just felt like the perfection was bursting out of the moment. And I was sipping this lovely chai coffee. I was watching the people waiting with me. I remember I was really captivated by this one woman who had a very odd sort of outfit and suitcase with lots of colors. I was so captivated by her curly hair as well. And in my memory, which might be completely wrong, there was a rainbow. I don't think it's true. But just... But just that, maybe that was the fairy dust. Just that perfection, the perfection of this ordinary moment touched me so, so, so deeply. I was sitting there and I was crying like, oh my God, this might just be the most beautiful moment of my life. I would say it was random in the sense that, yeah, it had me being so touched had nothing to do with anything. I was just waiting for a flight, chai in my hand, marveling at my co-travelers.
Yeah, I also remember the first time this exercise really came online for me. And I used to think that the only way to experience airports were as this stinky, stressful, like transit place where everybody's energy is wired and you're avoiding chaos and bodies. And then I remembered the first time that it all just exploded into light. So, like you say, Leila, I'm sitting there in a terminal and it just becomes the most beautiful orchestration of bodies. And the stress story fell away. And what was revealed was just, oh, presence. And the presence kind of had a quality of light. And it was mind-altering. It was just so beautiful. And I've been traveling since I was 3. We lived in 5 different countries. Airports were my life. And that was kind of a turning point, because now whenever I go on a trip, it doesn't have to be this really stressful thing. It's like not a formula, like travel equals stress. It's more like, oh, let's just see what presents itself today. We don't know. And also, I'm probably... like have internalized all the Jedi tricks. It's like, yay, let's go practice.
Yeah, you know, I just love it. And that's why, like, even if you're not a Jedi in life, this is your Jedi trick. This is the place for it, right? When traveling, there's a lot of waiting around. you're not really involved in very much of it. It's not like this chaotic environment where your family is fighting it during the holidays and you are involved and there's a lot of triggers, you know? It's just lightly triggered. You're lightly activated. Mostly waiting is like the perfect opportunity. It provides this contrast. And in that space, you could be a Jedi. Practice this trick. It's right there. It's the perfect arena. And so maybe you're just beginning practice. You're listening to this podcast. There's a lot of self-awareness beginning. You got some habit shifts, but you're not kind of like real committed to the meditation every day situation. Play with these little tricks. It'll make connections for you so that in your everyday practice, it just gets a little bit deeper. It'll be a little more connected. Like, there's just all kinds of benefits for using that opportunity to play in with a hack. So I'll say that the more mature your everyday practice gets, the deeper the magic and incredible these hacks become. So if you're just starting, it's like you're Luke in the swamp with Yoda. And you can actually move the ship a little bit. Like, it actually like shakes and it rises up and you're like, wow, that can happen. But then if you're a little more mature in your own practice, or, you know, it might even inspire you to like take on a little bit more, like Cam here or Leela, or maybe these guys are a little more Obi-Wan level, but let's say then you're Luke and the ship comes right up out of the swamp and you're like, oh, right, gravity, not a thing, turns out. Turns out gravity's optional. So with these tricks, it's like for that moment in that space is a perfect opportunity to notice that time and space aren't a thing. And that the deeper it gets, there's sort of like a whole thing with travel too of like, I don't think I actually left anywhere. I don't think I actually went somewhere. I don't think I'm actually separate, trying to get my agenda met in the collective soup of chaotic agendas. It changes, it flips it.
I just came out of a very, very full week where I was putting on a little market showcasing all my art and wares. And I thought I had the whole week to prep it. But then out of nowhere, this shoot came in and it was like, oh, all the days I was going to prep the market, I'm going to be filming in London, which sort of meant squeezing 3 days into one over many, many days and a lot of travel. And typically a journey from Bristol, where I live, to London by car takes about 2 to 3.5 hours. And although I was dreading the travel there and back, it actually turned out to be my favorite part of the whole week because the drives felt almost invisible. So I'd set off quite late at night after a really, really long day, feeling the weight of everything I had to do and everything I'd forgotten I should do, I should have done. And before I set off on my first journey, I had met with Kieran and Leela, and they prompted me to remember, like, hey, just, you know, sit in presence. It's nothing. And so then I set off and the drive felt almost empty. I call it accordion time, where 2 hours feels like 15 minutes. And my return journey was the same. I didn't understand how me sitting there meant that I traveled or drove at all, because it felt so effortless. Like, who's even driving? And usually I stop for breaks and stretch my legs and, you know, bathroom, whatever. But I did a 3-hour journey in a blink. It was totally effortless. I had set off at 10 p.m. because we finished the shoot so late, and I got home at 1 a.m. and I felt so awake. Like, there's just nothing happening here. And I made it back, and I think that was an ordinary miracle.
Yep. The more you play Jedi trick, the better you'll start to get at dissolving into meditation. And that little bit of maturity begins to ripen the Jedi trick to be deeper. Like, it's a beautiful cycle. And then time has this sweet movement in a quite a mature expression of this, where time just folds in on itself. It's like you just leave the time continuum and time doesn't actually hit your body. It doesn't touch your being. So you're not impacted by fatigue, by boredom, by restlessness, by even hunger. Time doesn't touch you. And just a little sidebar, because the three of us are really great pals. So we have these very real threads of connection moving all the time between us. I wrote to Leela this week. We were texting back and forth. And I literally wrote, like, did you notice that time just folded in on itself this week? Like, there was like 8 days of events, but it was only lived like 5 days. And she texted me back like, yeah. This week absolutely folded in on itself. And it's so interesting because Cam wasn't on that call. She was the one initiating the time fold. And we were like residue. Right. Scenes of it. I had ordered a product like at midnight. And the next day at like 4 p.m., it was on my table. And that's what I was texting. I was like, time just completely folded there. Like what would actually take a few days? I mean, it would even just take a day to get the order through. Anyways.
Yeah. And you know, this like time doesn't touch your being thing. I can attest to the truth of that in real time. Just right now, I literally just landed in California. And, you know, years ago, if you had told me that, you know, 30 hours or however many hours of traveling doesn't actually equal anything, I would have said, excuse me, how delusional are you? This is real time and jet lag and stuff like that. But here I am, you know, sitting and talking to you, recording this episode after having had, yeah, these countless hours of travel yesterday. And it's like, it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. Like Cam was saying, a two-hour drive, it doesn't equal to anything. And I remember the first time this sort of happened, I was on a 12-hour flight, which sounds like a very long flight. And I remember they were announcing that we're about to land. I was like, hang on, excuse me. I'm not ready. I haven't watched the movies yet. I wanted to watch. Like, no, I'm not done. And then, yeah, from this point, like jet lag is, it's very optional. You don't have to subscribe to that story. And because I love how you said it, Kieran, time doesn't touch you because silence doesn't know time. Source, the one field, doesn't know time. So the laws of form, they do not apply.
You know, I just want to be the witness here. Leela's at my house. She's got no bags under her eyes. Her skin's all glowy and beautiful and wide open. And like she just arrived after 30 hours of travel. And that's not smooth travel. That's like delays of 3 hours in airports. That's like a 2 hour being held at like security. But it was just all nothing. And then it was a 2 hour drive up the coast. Like it's just like it's just lifing doesn't make anything. And, you know, do you know what, guys? I'm just taking a picture. I'm attaching it here. You should be able to see the photo. If you don't see the photo, go to our website. Go to kierantrace.com/podcast in this episode and you'll see the picture. Proof for yourself. The time-space continuum that folds on itself in this Jedi trick. But you can't try this from the posture of a spiritual person. Okay, spiritual identities, you're not going to do it. However, decoders, you're all capable of accessing this little trick without a spiritual identity wading into the mix.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very courageous thing to let your separate self dissolve. And it might not feel like that's what you're doing in the beginning, but it's like making these little openings in your life for life itself to surprise you versus your identity or your belief of who you are, your conditioning to set the rules. So I think it's it's my spiritual identity.
Burping into the space.
Bring it home, Cammy. So I think this is a little invitation to just loosen all of the identities and little grips up. And maybe if you've been in practice for longer, you can have more fun or level up your Jedi skills. Like, you can play it in a deeper level. What is time? Did you even leave the building? What is a building if there is no separate you? Maybe there is no concrete either. So yeah, it's just a joy to share these games with you.
Before we sign off, I really wish I could say there's a link at the bottom of the episode for the Pokemon True Statement deck. But we're not there yet. But where we are is the Avatar Marketplace. It's just such a great thing to share with friends and loved one. And of course, when you buy something, a little commission comes to us, and that helps pay for this podcast. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening.
We've had such fun. Thanks, decoders. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. We obviously love hearing what you think. Your feedback helps us make a better show for you to listen to. So feel free to comment, and you can do it at Facebook, which is the Humans Decoded Podcast. And if you're not on social, you can always email any questions to us at outreach@kierantrace.com. And thanks for listening. We love you.